Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our sermon this evening is the gospel reading that we just heard from the Gospel of John. He was a professional thief. His name brought fear throughout the Wild West. He terrorized the Wells Fargo stagecoach line. During his reign of terror from 1875 to 1883, he stole hundreds of thousands of dollars. No victim ever saw his face. No artist ever sketched him. No sheriff could track his trail. His name, Black Bart. This evening, John introduces us, you and me, to a different Black Bart. If you have ever felt shame and disgrace, it was his whisper that crushed your heart. If you have ever felt alone and abandoned, it was all according to his plan. If you've ever felt useless and no good, it was his accusing finger pointing in your face. He doesn't want your money. This Black Bart comes to kill, steal, and destroy everything. What's his name? Guilt. Now, maybe there is a person somewhere on this planet who has never felt guilt before. But I've never met that person. And I know it isn't me. What sucked you under? One night stand? Backstreet brawl? Did you take something that wasn't yours? Or maybe your guilt is not the result of something that you did once, but maybe it's because of an entire season in your life. Because you think that you failed as a parent, or that you blew it in your career, or that you squandered your youth, or your money, or both. The result? Guilt. These Wednesday evenings, we are going through a series called Witnesses to Christ. So tonight we meet Peter. Peter is in the courtyard of the high priest. In that courtyard, we see guilt. Peter's guilt and our own. Beyond that courtyard, we see grace. Grace for Peter and grace for us. To get some context, let's go back in time one day from our reading to Gethsemane, where we hear Peter say to Jesus, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus and Peter had been through so much together. 3 years earlier, Jesus had been walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, where he saw Peter fishing with his brother Andrew. Jesus calls them to follow him and says, "I will make you fishers of men." So they did. Then one day, about a year after that, Peter follows Jesus out onto the Sea of Galilee, in the middle of a huge storm. Jesus is walking on the water, so Peter comes walking on the water out to him. But then he begins to sink, so Jesus reaches out, grabs him, and pulls him into the boat. One point later on, Peter says to Jesus, when a lot of his other disciples are leaving, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Another time, Jesus took Peter along with James and John up on the mountain, just the four of them, where they saw Jesus transfigured. Jesus invited those same three disciples, Peter, James, and John, again, to witness his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yes, Peter and Jesus have been through a lot together. No wonder Peter makes the claim, "I will lay down my life for you." But we've all made that claim, haven't we? When we got confirmed, Do you intend to live according to the word of God, and in faith, word, and deed, remain true to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? And we said, I do, with the help of God. As the events in that courtyard unfold, it's like watching cracks in a house's foundation slowly spread. First, a servant girl sees Peter and she says, you are not one of this man's disciples, are you? Peter says, I am not. The first crack. Peter then stands by the fire to keep warm because it's a cold night. So some bystanders say to him, just like the servant girl did, you are not also one of his disciples, are you? And again, Peter denies it and he says, I am not. Second crack. When there are enough cracks, there will always be a collapse. Always. Here it comes. One of Malchus's relatives spots Peter there by the fire and he says, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. Let those three words sink in for a moment. A rooster crowed, just like Jesus had said would happen. Guilt. For us, you and me, that collapse happens when we say, just one more drink, or just one more lie, just one more fling, just one more look, one more won't hurt anything. Crack, 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 crack. Because one more always leads to one more, and then one more, and then one more. And when there are enough cracks, there will always be a collapse. Always. And then what? Then comes the G word. Guilt. Peter, after that rooster crowed, felt like a has-been, marginalized, left out, rejected. That's what guilt does to us. Guilt turns us into miserable, weary, angry, stressed out people. And who loves someone like that? God does. God gives grace. How does that happen? Now we need to skip ahead to John 21. Where Jesus asks Peter if Peter loves him. Jesus asks Peter the question three times. Once for every time Peter had denied him. Each time Peter confesses, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Peter confessed his guilt. What gave him the faith to do that? Well, Peter was denying Jesus. Jesus was suffering for Peter. Jesus does not wait until we get it all together. Jesus does not wait until we overcome our temptations and fight our demons and conquer our sin. But God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So in the courtyard, we see guilt. Beyond the courtyard, at the cross, we see grace. And grace means what? The comeback. Because who preaches the sermon on Pentecost? Peter. Whose sermon converts 3,000 people? Well, the Holy Spirit's. But the Holy Spirit working through Peter. Who writes two books of the New Testament? Peter. Listen closely now. Comebacks do not depend on how much we love Jesus. Comebacks depend on how much Jesus loves us. Comebacks do not depend on what we do for Jesus. Comebacks depend on what Jesus does for us. Comebacks do not depend on us giving our lives to Jesus, but comebacks depend on Jesus giving his life for us. Remember Black Bart? He finally turned out to be nothing to be afraid of at all. When the authorities finally did track him down, they did not find a bloodthirsty bandit. Instead, they found a mild-mannered businessman from Decatur, Illinois. The man pictured storming the Wild West on his horse was actually so afraid of horses that he rode in a buggy, and many of his robberies he actually did on foot. Black Bart was named Charles Bowles, the bandit who never once fired a bullet because he never once actually loaded his gun. See guilt for who he really is. A deadly monster? You bet. A painful feeling that can do great harm? No doubt. The tormentor of souls? Count on it. But also, count on this. Guilt is a defeated enemy who has no bullets left in his gun. What's that mean for us, you and me? That our story is not over as long as it has Jesus in it. We can all come back from guilt. How? The best G word of all. Grace. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.